like this, but from people that have come to know Jesus through the work you're doing here. And Father, as we now turn to hear your word, I pray that I would decrease and you would increase. That you, O Holy Spirit, would guide my word so that what is conveyed is what you want conveyed. That, Father, that what you desire in each and every heart here this morning, and including mine, you would touch and help us see the truth. That, Lord, coming to Jesus Christ and having a reconciled relationship with you, Father, is so important. But, Lord, you have even more than that for us. You desire that the gospel would transform every aspect of our lives, that we would not be walking in this world as others, but as a distinct, unique people, because we are different because of the work you have done in our lives, the gift of your Spirit that dwells in those who believe. We don't act the same way anymore. We don't live the same way anymore because of you living and through us by your Spirit. Father, help us be the salt and light you're calling us to be. And may your word this morning be used by you, by your Spirit, to help us move a little closer to that end. All for your glory alone, Father. Amen. This morning we start a short series in the book of Philemon. And what I hope that we will see here this morning and over the next few weeks, that regardless of our circumstances, our station in life, even our feelings, we are called to a life in Christ Jesus where the gospel transforms all areas in our life, especially in our relationship with each other, with fellow Christians. So if you're able to, let us stand for the reading of God's word. And as we read the word, let us remember, it is as if Jesus is speaking to us directly. Philemon, verse 1 to 3. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apaphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The reading of God's word. Heavenly Father, may we hear and understand and obey what you have for us this morning. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning we're going to focus more on the background introduction and talk about the first three verses of Philemon. Here we're going to see that the gospel impacts our relationships. But it's not until verse 17 in this letter we see what Paul is really writing about. He says, "If then you regard me," speaking to Philemon, "me as a partner, accept him," that is Onesimus, "as you would me." He's appealing to Philemon. And he's at least asking Philemon for clemency for Onesimus. But he's also asking to treat him as a brother in Christ and perhaps even to let him return to Paul to help him in the work. So we are seeing here, and I'm hoping that we get really understand over the next 6 weeks, regardless of our circumstances, our station in life, and our feelings, we are called to a life in Jesus Christ where the gospel is transforming all areas in our life, especially in our relationships with each other. So this morning, introduction and background. Next week, we're going to talk about how our relationship with the Lord and with each other should be marked with love and faith. Week three, we're going to talk about the transformed life of Onesimus and how he became useful to the Lord. The fourth week, we're going to talk about Philemon's response to Onesimus' transformed life and how the gospel should be affecting our relationships. Week five, we're going to talk about Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus, and you and me. How are we to live? And we'll continue that into the sixth week as we talk about how are we to live together as a community of faith. So let's turn. I'm going to read from Philemon verses 1 to 3 again. Paul, a prisoner for Christ, Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apaphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's really not much of any argument that Paul wrote this letter, and it is a letter, so it has the same structure as we see in the other letters. There's the greeting, the body, and the conclusion. Now, some have said that this is a model of understated persuasion. I don't know if it's that understated as I read it. It is an appeal to apply the grace of the gospel to interpersonal relationships in which a serious wrong was done by Onesimus to Philemon. And Paul is seeking from Philemon, at the very least, clemency, and then perhaps even sending Philemon back to him. Paul doesn't expressly command Philemon to do anything, but he appeals to Philemon for the sake of love, and much of this letter consists of that appeal. But I think for us to understand this letter, we need to understand slavery in this time frame, because it's not the slavery that we're familiar with in the 15th to 19th century in Europe or America. It was much different. A slave could be owned by the state. For example, Athens had slaves that were used as a police force. Slaves could be owned by individuals. Oftentimes in this age, slave was a form of debt slavery, where a person could put themselves into slavery to help pay debts or sell their children into slavery. They could be in slavery because of punishment for crime that they committed. And of course, you could be a slave by birth, being born by a slave, or as a victim of crime or war. Obviously, slavery denotes a person's legal status or identity, but we also recognize that when you're in slavery, there's a relationship of power of one person over another. But in the context of what we're reading, we should think more of the household slave. And that accounts for a lot of diverse experiences of slavery, because it could range on the negative side, where there could be torture, rape, or even death, or on the positive side, where there was protection, participation, and sometimes even influence in institutional affairs. In the Greco-Roman world, owning slaves was not limited to the rich. There many households had at least one slave. Don't get lost here. The Greeks and the Romans employed a system in which the slaves could own property, they could earn money, and even buy their freedom. And this system probably was implemented so that it would help keep the slaves submissive. It provided labor for large agricultural portions of agriculture and handicraft. In fact, some people would hire a slave skilled in a particular craft instead of using free wage laborers. People in the first century often sold themselves, as I said, to pay debts. And though slavery was not desirable, slaves in the Greco-Roman world would hold positions of authority, could even own property, and it's not always a permanent situation. Many gained their freedom. And we see Paul talking about slavery, and that it tells believers to view slavery within the framework of the gospel, that slaves should work as if they're working for Christ, and that even masters need to remember that they are slaves to God and should treat their slaves fairly. In Colossians, which was likely sent with this letter, Paul proclaims that before Christ all people are equal, and this would have served as further reason for Philemon to forgive Onesimus' debt. And a slave's status did not prevent them from having full dignity in Christ. But also understand, because Onesimus is a runaway slave, his owner had the right to have him imprisoned, flogged, or even killed, and that those who would harbor a slave were open to be called into the court and the owner could demand satisfaction. So you could see there's some heavy discussion, thoughts going here as we proceed through this letter. There's a lot we don't know, a lot of detail. Did Onesimus go intentionally to Paul? We don't know. We just don't know. So we'll work with what we do know. And we'll begin in the first part of verse 1, where Paul writes, "Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother." It's interesting. This is the only letter where Paul identifies himself as a prisoner in the opening. In nine letters, he opens identifying himself as an apostle, as a servant in three other letters. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he just identifies himself, Silvanus, and Timothy. It's only here in Philemon he opens up by identifying himself as a prisoner. And of course, we could ask why. First, I want to talk about and make note that even though he is in prison, and we see this throughout the book of Acts and his letters, being in prison never kept Paul from fulfilling the ministry God gave him. He would write letters, and he would take visitors, and he would continue in his work. And in fact, we see in this letter that Onesimus comes to Christ through Paul's ministry, as well as did Philemon, though not while he was in prison. And we see also Timothy's included in this greeting, which makes him a co-author. But throughout this letter, as short as it is, Paul's reference is always to himself, I, me, singular. He's not including Timothy in this discussion because he's making a personal request connection with Philemon. And this is likely the reason he probably includes Timothy is I could see that they may have discussed this because it was, the Roman law was about runaway slaves was serious. And perhaps they were discussing. And Paul, out of his heart, is trying to implore Philemon to apply the gospel in this circumstance. Question I have is, do we realize the impact of the gospel in all our own lives? In Romans 12:2, Paul gives us this direction. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. We should be always thinking when we're presented with an issue, not to be, because we've lived in this world, we tend to just react as the world may. We need to stop and ask, how would the Lord have us respond in a way that glorifies the gospel, draws people to Jesus Christ, and is for kingdom good? I just find it interesting here in this situation, in this circumstance, we've got Paul, a prisoner who was a Pharisee and a Christian, is interceding for a runaway slave who's currently breaking the law but has now become a Christian, and beseeching a Christian slave owner. What an interesting situation. And another question I have is, what circumstances, relational issues, situations in our life that we are tending to respond in a worldly way, what does a gospel-oriented response look like? And maybe the things that are coming to your mind right now. One question is, where did he write this? So there's three possibilities where Paul wrote this when he was in prison. And the most likely is Ephesus. It was closer to Colossae than Rome or Caesarea. It was only about 100 miles, which made it less of an extensive journey for Onesimus as a runaway slave. And Paul, according to Roman law, is sending Onesimus back to Philemon. But because both Philemon and Onesimus are now Christians, Paul is making a request that he hopes that Philemon will respond favorably to Paul's request and set aside his rights as a slave owner. It's likely that Onesimus was a type of slave that was using his slavery as a means to pay a debt. But he ran away and did not complete that. And here Paul, as a spiritual father, both of Onesimus and Philemon, is desiring to see this resolve in the right way. Let's turn to Philemon, the rest of verse 1 and verse 2. Paul writes, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apaphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your home. It's believed that Philemon is likely the leader of this church house. We don't know who Apaphia is. We can surmise it might be his wife, and if it was his wife, it could make sense because it was the wife who usually had oversight of the household slaves. It could have been a daughter. We just don't know. It could have been a key member of that church home. Archippus, again, there's various opinions. It could be his son or just another key member. And some even question, perhaps is this church house Archippus's, because it says right after addressing him and your church in, that meets in your house. I don't know if any of these things really make a difference, except to make this note. Paul is not just writing to Philemon, though it's directed to him primarily. He's included other people in his life, perhaps and most likely even the church house is addressed, because their reconciliation between Philemon and Onesimus impacts the body. Think about it. I'm sure the people in the church house knew that Onesimus had run away. And people may take up an offense and say, well, he should be doing this to Onesimus or this to Onesimus. They need to be a part of that discussion to see how the gospel impacts, should be impacting our relationships. So this relationship is part of the entire community as well. Which brings us to verse 3. Paul writes, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing. It's a typical blessing. But why would he write this blessing? He is desiring that the grace and peace be with Philemon and the entire church household. The grace that comes from God the Father, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to touch on this a little bit. Grace. Grace is unmerited favor. And he wants that the unmerited favor of God fall upon all of them. That's something we should be doing for each other. How are we showing grace to others in our life? Are there those that you're not showing grace towards? How would Jesus respond? And then he's also wishing peace upon them, because we should have peace with whatever comes in our life, whatever circumstances or challenges we face. We have peace because we have a God who loves us, cares for us. He's sovereign. He's more than capable. Do you have peace? Are you trusting God? Or are you trying to take things in your own hands? I know for myself, that's always a challenge, because I'm a doer. I want to fix things. And yet there are times I can't fix things. I need to just trust in the Lord. Notice the community and what Paul says in his blessing. He says, the grace and peace of God, our Father. We all have the same Father God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We all report to the same Heavenly Father. We're all equal under Him. So we should respond as our Heavenly Father is calling us to. We are in the same family. There's a saying that blood is thicker than water. We have the blood of Christ covering our lives. There's no other blood more precious. It supersedes even our own familiar relationships. When you look around at our church family, do you see brothers or sisters, or do you see bothers and blisters? We need to be loving each other. I know it can be hard. Even in our regular families, we love them, but boy, can they drive us nuts sometimes. But we still love them. And that's what we need to be working toward. And I know I'm a broken record on this, but it just floors me. Jesus knew what he was about to go to on the night of his betrayal. And in his high priestly prayer, he takes the time to pray that we would be one as the Father, Spirit, and Son are one. That's a challenge. It's a challenge. And Paul says of the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to parse that out a bit. Because here are three names. The Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, because he is our master. We need to obey him. We need to follow him. And he desires that unity and peace among us. Jesus, because he was fully man. He lived without sin. And yet he demonstrated humility, obedience, patience, and love to others, as he's now calling us. We're to conform into that image. He's our example to follow. And Christ, the anointed one, the one who came, who died for our sins, took the penalty, took God's wrath on our place. And as such, our Lord Jesus Christ should have full dominion over our life. Is Jesus the Lord of your life all the time in all situations, or only when it's convenient? Do you follow Jesus' example of humility, obedience, and patience to others? And of course, there's more examples we can follow from Christ. You could talk about holiness, purity. Do you die to yourself daily to follow Jesus Christ, or are you crucifying some people in your mind? Are you endeavoring to follow all that Christ commands, or just the ones that are convenient and easy? I know these are hard questions, but it's the challenge we have. And I see in this short, brief letter just a smidgen of how the gospel should be transforming all areas of our life. The gospel is good news about our reconciled relationship with our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ alone. However, if we truly follow Jesus, we realize the gospel should be transforming every aspect of our life. How are we doing with this? I want to close with our reading this morning. I know you're probably thinking that's an interesting reading to start with the close of a book of the Bible, but I think as I read through this, just ask the Spirit of God, be open to his leading as far as, are there areas we could be working on? Paul wrote, "Finally, brothers, rejoice." I want to point out verses 11 through 12 are all commands, imperatives. It's not a suggestion. He's telling us to rejoice. Kind of a hard thing in our way of thinking, isn't it? And yet, we are to rejoice. If you're struggling with that, I would say pray and ask the Lord to help you. And begin thinking of the blessings God is doing in your life. Aim for restoration. Doesn't say aim for retribution. It aim for restoration. That doesn't mean we fake things. If we need to discuss something, we do it, but we do it from a position of humility and love. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. We need to be recognizing that we're not alone, and when someone's burdened with something, we need to come alongside the best we can. Agree with one another. Another one that can be hard. I think how we get there is multifaceted. One, we're called to die to ourselves. We all have experiences that we're bringing here, and things may have worked in the past, but maybe God does something different here. There may be something we're more comfortable with. We need to die to ourselves first and ask the Lord, what are you saying here? So when we may not agree, let's agree to disagree until the Lord makes it clear to us the path he wants us to take. In such, we're agreeing with one another, if not in the method, at least the desire that God wants to do something here and through us. Let us live in peace. And this is another tough one. I've come from some experiences that I won't bore you with, besides I've talked about them before. But we had someone come in and they taught us that we don't keep peace, we make peace. Keeping peace means I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to rattle somebody. Of course, how we say things are important, but we make peace by ensuring that our relationships are right before each other and before the Lord. Lord, that's why we examine ourselves before communion that we take every week, because we know communion is both a remembrance of what Christ done and an invitation to participate, but it also is a means to identify those who believe in Jesus Christ. And so if we do believe in him, part of that is we should be in right relationship with each other. That's why sometimes someone may not partake of it because they know they need to deal with something. And the God of love and peace will be with you. What a promise. Now, it doesn't mean we have arrived, but if we are working towards rejoicing, aiming for restoration, comforting one another, agreeing with another, living in peace, the God of love and peace will be with you. And if we're struggling with love and peace, we can turn to the God who is the God of love and peace. Paul continues, greet one another with a holy kiss. I did check. It is a command, but I know we need to be sensitive to everyone's space. It's not something we do here as a function, and there's some who don't like to even hug, and that's okay. But do we have affection, genuine affection towards each other? All the saints greet you. something we could be doing to those outside who are Christians as well? Are we greeting them? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Do we see the triune God here? The unmerited favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God demonstrated in the sending of his Son. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit which each of us who believe have. Regardless of our circumstances, our station in life, and our feelings, we are called to live a life in Christ Jesus where the gospel transforms all areas of our life, especially in relationships with each other. We're going to go deeper into this in the weeks to come. Let's pray. Take a moment now as you think about what the Lord may have spoken to you. I would suggest if you haven't, write it down so that you could refer to it to accomplish maybe what the Lord's asking you to do or to keep it in front of you. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. We thank you for your word. And Father, we desire to follow you. And Father, we ask your forgiveness for sometimes we are apathetic, sometimes we don't take the step you're calling us to. Help us, Father. By your Spirit, encourage us. By your word, speak to us. May we encourage each other in the walk you've called us to. You tell us, do not forsake the meeting of the brethren. It's because we do need each other. We have blind spots. I need a brother or a sister to point my weakness out. Father, I pray that whatever you've spoken to each heart here, we would take a resolution to follow what you've given us, to remind ourselves this week and seek your face, to read your word about these things. Not that we can pat ourselves on the back. Father, anything we do that's spiritually valuable is because of you working through us by your Spirit. So, Father, we desire that. And we take any praise we get and we hand it over to you because we recognize, Father, it's because of you working through us. Help us to be obedient and submissive to your leading. That we would be more of the salt and light you're calling us to be here in Adams County, all for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.